September 24th, I'm Paul Joseph Watson. This is InfoWars Nightly News.
Tonight, an off-duty soldier armed only with a handgun saves 100 during an active shooting. Then, Virginia children get suspended for playing with toy guns at home. And why won't the state of Connecticut release Adam Lanza's medical records? That's next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
All right, let's continue here. I'm actually really freaked out by what's going on.
Top story tonight. State of Connecticut refuses to release Adam Lanza's medical records. The state of Connecticut is refusing to release Sandy Hook gunman Adam Lanza's medical records over fears that divulging the identity of the antidepressants he was taking would, quote, cause a lot of people to stop taking their medications, according to Assistant Attorney General Patrick B. Quinashe. You can go and watch the clip on the website. So we've known basically for 9 months that Adam Lanza was on some form of prescription medication. It said that in the search warrant for his house. The parents group Able Child has basically been behind this effort to try and find out exactly the identity of what those drugs were. And they've been rebuffed at every level and attempt by the state. Because this is important to find out, because as we've documented, virtually every mass shooter in the last 3 decades has been on some form of psychiatric drug. And in fact, we've got the link here in the article, SSRIstories.com, which lists literally hundreds of examples. So the state admits they don't want to divulge the identity of the drug Lanza was taking because it might cause others to stop taking it. And, you know, how is that a bad thing? It's a public safety issue. Yet they're trying to block the release of this information at every turn. And of course, the media isn't interested in it because they get $2.4 billion of pharmaceutical company advertising every year, which is why they habitually choose to obsess about gun control and not psychiatric drugs in the case of mass shooters. Moving on, off-duty soldier armed with handgun saves 100 lives during mall siege. Here's a positive story about guns that you're not likely to see the US corporate media pay much attention to. An off-duty SAS soldier armed with just a handgun saved 100 lives during the terrorist siege on the Westgate shopping mall in Kenya. So he basically went in with a handgun, kept going in and out a dozen times, saved 100 hostages. But again, the media won't cover it. They will shy away from it because they dare not highlight examples of guns being used for positive defensive purposes, despite a 1993 National Defense Survey, which found that Americans use guns to defend themselves in a confrontation with criminals some 2.5 million times a year. And again, the media obsession with refusing to highlight this fact of guns being used defensively contributes to the erroneous perception that violent gun crime is increasing when, in fact, according to the Justice Department's own figures, gun homicides are down 49% since 1993. Staying on the issue of gun control, Kit Daniels reports, photos, New York cop steals residents' pro-Second Amendment signs. And you can see these images up on screen now. After a Somers, New York resident discovered someone was coming onto his private property and repeatedly stealing his pro-Second Amendment signs, he thought up a brilliant plan to catch the perpetrator. So he basically set up a trail cam near the entrance to his driveway, caught the individual on camera who was stealing his pro-Second Amendment sign. Lo and behold, it turned out to be a Somers police officer. So now apparently American taxpayer dollars are being used to send out cops who swore an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution to steal signs that show support for the Constitution. Welcome to the new America. The homeowner is now accepting media requests and he will likely pursue charges against the officer despite an unconstitutional ordinance that bans yard signs within 15 feet of the road. So we'll bring you more updates on that as and when they develop. Moving on, Steve Watson reports, 7th graders suspended for 9 months for playing with a toy gun at home. Last week, in the wake of the Navy Yard shooting in D.C., we predicted that another wave of knee-jerk overreactions to anyone doing anything with any object remotely looking like a gun would occur. Sadly, we were right. The latest incident occurred in Virginia, where a 7th grader and his friend had been suspended from school for playing with a toy gun in the boy's own front yard outside of school hours. So you go watch the video. Basically, they're shooting a plastic pellet gun on their own front yard against a cartoon paper target, these two 13-year-old boys. some busybody calls the police, says that there's somebody shooting a gun. They come out. The principal suspends both kids for 9 months and recommends that they, quote, be expelled for a year for possession, handling, and use of a firearm. So this kid's whole education could be completely ruined over the fact that he was shooting a plastic pellet gun in his own front yard outside of school hours. And again, it's all part of the pussification of America. You've got psychologically damaged people in positions of power like this principal. Then you've got the moron public wannabes who seek out that petty power, like the one who called the cops over this kid who was playing with a toy gun. So the kids should be given an apology, put back in school. The principal should be fired for manifestly proving that he's incapable of exercising logic, which is a pretty big deal for somebody working in the education system. And the stupid woman who called the cops over a kid playing with a toy gun should be fined for wasting police time. But again, how many more ridiculous stories do we have to hear like this? We hear them almost every week before common sense makes an appearance. Stick around after the break. More news coming up and a special report from David Knight about the overreach of government. Stay tuned. This is InfoWars Nightly News.
Now you can watch The Alex Jones Show live as it happens at InfoWars.com/show.
You'll find links to all of our content there and a free 15-day trial for Prison Planet TV.
More than 60 movies and documentaries all in one place at InfoWars.com/show.
Jakari Jackson here, and I want to talk to you for a second about water. You know about ProPure, our flagship water purification system, but check out some of our portable water filter products at InfoWarsStore.com. The clearly filtered water pitcher. Also, for those of you on the go, we have the Athlete Edition filtered water bottle. And the RAD Eliminator Pro Filtered Sports Bottle that removes radiation. And keep in mind, we have replacement filters for all of these products. The ever-popular grab-and-go bag favorite, the Life Straw. The Crystal Quest Shower Filter System. And the Aquapod Kit, great for mass storage of water. And while you're at the InfoWars shop, pick up a copy of our latest book, 31 Days to Survival. You can find all this and more at the InfoWarsStore.com. And don't forget, it's your support that funds our operation. Sign up for our free newsletter at InfoWars.com/newsletter.
Gallup.com reports Americans believe that government is too powerful at record level. 6 in 10 Americans believe the federal government has too much power, 1 percentage point above the previous high recorded in September 2010. At least half of Americans since 2005 have said the government has too much power. 32% now say the government has the right amount of power. Few say it has too little power. So recall that as far back as 2 years ago, we had these polls saying that Americans were, quote, pre-revolutionary, and that just 17% of Americans believed that the US government had the consent of the governed. So if you're looking for an answer as to why the feds are treating American citizens as domestic extremists, then it's right here. Because the threat to the power monopoly of the federal government hasn't been this apparent, this brazen, for generations. Look at it from their perspective, and you'll understand why, for example, the Second Amendment rights are under attack. Because, why the Department of Homeland Security, why the NSA is continually monitoring our activity on the internet. They're not doing it to protect against terrorism. They run the terrorists across North Africa and the Middle East. We saw it in Libya. We're seeing it again in Syria. Eric Karoun just got freed from jail despite fighting alongside Al-Qaeda. He got freed on a $100 fine because he was doing it on behalf of the CIA. So Americans who fight for Al-Qaeda are getting released from jail with $100 fines, while Americans who fight for their constitutional rights are being treated as terrorists. So we've highlighted the Mayak report, the DHS reports, you know, those reverent of individual liberty are listed as the main domestic terror threat by the feds. And these polls, like this latest Gallup poll, is a way for the establishment to measure just how substantial a threat to their corrupt system the American people really are by the amount of them that are dissatisfied with the government. So while a huge number of Americans are still transfixed by American Idol, an equally impressive number are beginning to stir, and those are the ones that the likes of the NSA and the DHS are keeping under close scrutiny. Now, on the subject of the federal government, Obamacare is becoming very attractive to thieves and not just the insurance company hustlers.
The deadline for Obamacare is upon us, and it's not just insurance companies that are hoping to line their pockets with higher premiums. Con artists are looking to cash in on the confusion surrounding the law. The health insurance marketplace was set up by the Affordable Care Act as a new way to find health care coverage by comparing rates and plans online. But 17 states opted to manage their own unique exchange with a different URL, and this could cause confusion for consumers. While shopping for coverage, you may run into one of the many fake exchanges that are already up and running on the internet. Scam artists got an early jump on national health care reform. Since last year, they've been calling, faxing, and emailing people across the country claiming to be with Medicare, Obamacare, or some agency of the federal government. Oftentimes, the caller will say they need to verify personal information like a social security number or bank account. Sometimes callers will convince victims that they need to buy an insurance card for eligibility. A sucker is born every minute, as they say, so don't be one of them. Here's how you can protect yourself. The health insurance marketplace doesn't open until October 1st. You can't buy coverage until then. Don't trust anyone promising a special price or a limited time offer, or to hurry because spots are limited. The rates in the exchange have been pre-approved, and they won't change during the initial enrollment period of October 1st to March 31st, 2014. There is no card associated with healthcare reform. There is no new Medicare card, and you do not have to update any personal information. Don't respond to a cold call of any kind, especially one that asks for personal information or money. Now, seniors could be the most susceptible to these fraudsters and their intimidating tactics, but even the most savvy among us can fall a victim to a con artist posing as a navigator. Under Obamacare, navigators are trained to guide through the process of finding coverage through the exchanges, and they will ask for personal information. There may be the opportunity for con artists posing as navigators to access this information, or actual navigators might ask you for more personal information than they need to recommend a plan. After all, we are dealing with a government-run program that's going to be sharing your information with the IRS. As part of this Navigator program, some nonprofit groups plan to make door-to-door outreach. Because of the time constraints placed on the program, the Department of Health and Human Services will not be doing background checks on Navigator applicants. This is a shocking revelation that could attract many identity thieves to the position. The odds are already against you when you hand over your personal information to a solicitor that shows up at your doorstep, especially when they're from the government and they're here to help. So it's up to you to be a savvy shopper and protect your personal information. Reporting for the InfoWars Nightly News, I'm Leanne McAdoo.
And now continuing on the theme of government overreach, Obama has opened up a new offensive against the coal industry.
In spite of 16 years of data that now contradict the global warming narrative, Obama and the UN are going to pretend that their predictive model hasn't failed. It's simply a pause in the global warming trend. They need to pretend that there is some kind of a correlation between CO2 and global warming so that they can force humans to pay a global regime for the use of any energy. And it isn't just carbon taxes and global regulation that they're pushing. They're also trying to shut down most power plants and prevent new ones from being built. Obama loves the nuclear industry as much as he hates the coal industry. In the first part of this report, we're going to look at the issues of nuclear safety and nuclear waste disposal. In the wake of Typhoon Manyi, the Fukushima nuclear power plant dumped 1,130 tons of contaminated water into the ocean. Now, the reported levels were below what the Japanese government considers to be safe. But we learned just in the last couple of weeks that previously reported radiation levels were actually 18 times higher than reported, and that 300 tons of radioactive water leak into the ocean every day. And dangerously high levels of radiation have been discovered in groundwater. The highly radioactive groundwater contamination is due to leaking storage vessels that are holding the water that was used in the original disaster. Maintaining the ice wall will use enough energy to power thousands of homes, even if it works. And Fukushima doesn't just pose a disaster threat to Japan. It also poses a threat to the United States. Spent reactor fuel, containing roughly 85 times more long-lived radioactivity than was released at Chernobyl, still sits in pools that are vulnerable to earthquakes. Several of these pools are 100 feet above ground. These pools could possibly topple or collapse from structural damage coupled with another powerful earthquake, and the loss of water exposing the spent fuel could cause fire that could deposit large amounts of radioactive material over hundreds, if not thousands, of miles. But what about nuclear plants within the United States? Dr. Yaxo, a Nuclear Regulatory Commission member for 7 years and former NRC chairman, said in April of 2013 that all 104 nuclear reactors have safety problems that can't be fixed and should be shut down. Noting the potential to have more failures like Fukushima, he said, continuing to put Band-Aid on Band-Aid is not going to fix the problem. Of course, there are many ways that nuclear plants can fail, but in this particular mode, there are 23 reactors in the U.S. that use the same technology as Fukushima, 12 in seismically active areas. Manufacturers like GE Hitachi will tell you there's nothing to worry about, but evidently they're worried enough about it that they got releases from governments like Japan and Canada, releasing them for liability that will be borne by the taxpayers like this $500 million ice wall. Public concern has focused on catastrophic reactor events like Three Mile Island and Chernobyl, but as we saw in Fukushima, pools of spent fuel represent a great danger as well. Spent nuclear fuel is extraordinarily radioactive and must be handled with great care. An unprotected person just a foot away from a recently removed fuel assembly could receive a lethal dosage in just a matter of seconds. As one of the most dangerous materials on the planet, spent reactor fuel requires permanent geological isolation to protect humans for thousands of years. And, of course, politics and money are driving decisions more than safety. Plans to move spent fuel to remote, sparsely populated areas like Yucca Mountain have been overruled by powerful politicians like Harry Reid. As a result, the largest storage pools in the country are located in a heavily populated area at a reactor complex, Sharon Harris, just outside Raleigh, North Carolina, transported from other reactors by rail through high population centers on the East Coast. Scientists at MIT and Princeton warned that spent fuel recently discharged from a reactor could heat up relatively rapidly and catch fire. The fire could spread to older fuel, and the long-term contamination consequences of such an event could be significantly worse than Chernobyl. In part two of this report, we'll look at the health and economic cost involved in decommissioning old nuclear power plants. And we'll look at the love affair that many environmentalists have with nuclear power. For InfoWars Nightly News, I'm David Knight.
And if you're watching this on YouTube, please consider supporting us by subscribing at Prison Planet TV. We really appreciate all your support. Coming up, David Knight interviewed Dr. John Hall on ELF weapons and harassment techniques in relation to the Navy Yard shooter. Stay tuned.
Alex Jones channel is the official page of the InfoWar. But don't miss what's happening on our other channels. The InfoWarrior, with the week's best videos. Prison Planet Live, where Paul Joseph Watson gives his expert analysis. And keep up with the rest of the InfoWars crew on our other pages. All of our videos are available to repost for educational purposes. See the sidebar of the Alex Jones channel for the subscription links. And remember, you can always find our videos in the highest quality by becoming a member of PrisonPlanet.tv.
Well, to paraphrase Winston Churchill, the government is either at your feet or at your throat. And in some cases, they're in your head. We're talking about weapons of mass control. And we all know that the government is all about controlling us, even though it appears we have less and less control of the government. Joining us today to tell us about weapons of mass control is Dr. John Hall. He's an MD, an anesthesiologist from San Antonio, and he has an amazing story to tell. Welcome, Dr. Hall. Tell us how you got into this, because you're an anesthesiologist. So tell us how you got into people coming to you about voices in their head.
Well, a little unusual story. I am an anesthesiologist in San Antonio, Texas. I had a girl come to me complaining of being stalked and getting voices in her head. did a little checking. I had known the family. I had known the girl for some time. No history of mental illness, no drug history in the past. So I gave her the benefit of the doubt before sending her to a psychiatrist. Did some checking, did some bugging of her place with audio. She'd requested no video cameras, but she did allow audio and had some people driving around checking on her. And as it turns out, she was being stalked by a former FBI agent that runs a private investigative agency in San Antonio. They were breaking into her house, putting Rohypnol in bottled water and other food substances in her place.
And what does that do, Rohypnol?
Rohypnol is a date rape drug. It blocks your memory. And we're essentially sexually assaulting her, using her as a sex slave. But the interesting thing about the way they were doing it, and which gets into the electromagnetic technology, is they were breaking in, putting Rohypnol in the bottled water, and subliminally controlling her to drink where the drug was placed.
Wow. Wow, that's interesting. So when did this happen?
This all happened prior to 2006.
This has been an open secret for some time. It's something that's not talked about very much, although we do have articles here from the Washington Post. We've got articles from Wired Magazine. They've been talking about this here and then in articles since the early 2000s. So you can find some articles going back earlier than that even. And we've got pretty much every branch of the military has got their own little projects as well as commercial applications.
Oh, yeah. Mind control technology is one of the most common crimes, at least vocalized or complained about on the internet today. It seems to be getting the least amount of coverage in the major media.
Wow.
So that's why when we went to the police and had the identities of the stalkers, there's no way to prove the electromagnetic technology, but we could prove the stalking and we could prove the sexual assault. And we're told by the police that, well, the guy doing this to you is former FBI. He's a private investigator. He stalks people for a living. That's what he does. And she had no memory.
Sexually assaults people for a living.
Well, and she has no memory of the sexual assaults due to the Rohypnol, at least not good enough memory to bring a case. And it's like the police told us, it's not what you know, it's what you can prove.
Yeah. It's also who you know.
And who you know. So the next best thing, I thought, you know what, I need to write all this down in a book. Of course, the names have slightly been changed since we couldn't bring any of them to prison. Once the book came out, then I saw that I was immediately inundated with thousands of other people voicing the same complaints of organized stalking, of directed energy, weapons attacks, burning, twitching, severe headaches, blurred vision, as well as hearing the voices of their perpetrators in their head or in their surroundings while they're being attacked.
Wow. Let me go down the list of some of these that I came up with. We've got DARPA has a sonic projector that was reported on in 2007. Of course, it had been around for quite some time before then. Army has something they call voice to skull. We've got the Air Force using microwaves to create sounds at Brooks Air Force Base. We've got the Marine Corps with their Medusa project. We've got the State Department, as reported by the Washington Post in 2005, working on voices implanted in people's heads. We've got a couple of companies, one that has patented something called Hypersound. That's American Technologies. It's also got Holosonic Research Labs, also has a patented version. So the military-industrial complex has been all over this. When you see something this wide, this is not just one little research project from one organization. And this is something that 5, 10 years ago, it was being reported on in even mainstream press like the Washington Post, and yet nobody knows about this.
Well, the people who follow the internet pretty closely, and certainly the victims of this technology know about it, but you're right. There's been a lot of research done into how to put voices into one's head. It was found long ago that if you can put a voice into someone's head, you can do several things. If I put a voice that's foreign to your normal thought pattern in your head, that becomes harassment. And the harassment over time will make you display signs of schizophrenia. Mm-hmm. When you go and tell people that you're hearing voices, we've been patterned to turnkey see that as schizophrenia and not even look to see if there's a legitimate source for it. If I put a voice in your head that's in your voice, and if you pattern a thought, like I tell some of these victims, when you read a book, you're actually hearing your own voice in your head as you read. If I put that voice in your head, then that becomes a thought. Wow. And you'll act on those thoughts, and that's how they think that some of this is being used for subliminal control.
Wow. I know that in some of these articles I was reading on the mid-2000s, they were talking about how they were using it as the voice of God, as the voice of Allah. because they figured that it was something that they could use. They thought that people that they were going against that were Muslims were very religious, superstitious.
Used in the field of battle. The mm-hmm. Voice of God weapon, which is actually called Esquad or Silent Sound Spread Spectrum, was used in the first Operation Desert Storm. That was one of those scenarios where 1,500 Iraqi soldiers disassembled their weapons, got to their knees, and surrendered to 150 Marines who didn't have enough slip ties to tie them all together because, and this was admitted, that they used Esquad to put the voice of Allah in their heads to tell them to surrender.
Wow.
Before that, in the mid to late 80s, five separate inmates from the Utah State Prison had written affidavits saying that they were put in solitary confinement and were experimented on with some type of electronic device that put voices in their head, and all of them claimed that they could tell the voices of the people doing the experimentation on them were responding back to their thoughts.
Wow.
So this has been going on for a while. Unfortunately, it's just not gotten any major media coverage until recently.
So they're basically setting themselves up as the ventriloquists, and we're the dummies or the zombies, right?
Well, it's like I've said in other with other reporters and other shows, that guns and taxes won't control everybody.
Yeah,
electromagnetic technology will.
Wow, wow, and we know that too. I mean, I've said for the longest time that the IRS really wasn't so much about getting your money. It wasn't about revenue. It was really about controlling you as a way of offering you carrots and sticks. And of course, they're only collecting enough to pay the interest to the Federal Reserve. You know,
exactly.
They were created at the same time. But this is something. So we all know that the government is into controlling us, right? And whatever they can use. And they've had very, very simple ways to control us in the past. I mean, they've got the media, they've got schools, they've got the income tax system. Everything that the government is doing is targeted towards controlling us. So, of course, they're going to have every branch of government working on this type of thing because that gives them very precise control over what we're doing.
Well, and with the new revelations coming out about the NSA, 10 years ago when I first started writing about some of this and getting into this type of science, it did seem sci-fi and it did seem far-fetched to a lot of people, especially mm-hmm. a lot of people thought the brain was too complex to manipulate that way. Since some of Snowden's leaked records about the NSA, what we, most of us already knew that the NSA was listening to our phone calls.
And we were accused of being paranoid.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Accused so of now being we're accused of being schizophrenic if we hear voices, but we know that there's some reality of that.
But, you know, it's not too far of a stretch if they have computers big enough to collect all the data on our text, on our cell, and on our emails. And then it came to light that, they admitted that several NSA agents were using NSA technology to target love interest. And it was happening so frequently that instead of HUMINT for humans intelligence or SIGINT for signals intelligence, that they actually have one that they referred to as LoveINT. And these were agents that were actually targeting either girls they saw or met that wanted to watch them, or ex-spouses or current spouses with NSA technology. And it's happening frequent enough that it's called LoveINT.
Well, it's always like any technology. It could be used for good or it could be used for evil. I don't know if there's any good use for putting voices in people's heads, but certainly what this reveals is the dark side of people that are involved in this. And we've seen this in the past. We've seen people very high up in the NSA, like Michael Aquino, who was a Satanist, who founded the Temple of Set. So we know that there's some very dark, I would even say Dr. Strangelove type of characters who are involved in this. So it's really not surprising that that would happen. But we've had some revelations about connections to this possibly with the recent Navy Yard shooting. Tell us about that. Well, stay tuned. Right after the show, we're going to have a lot more of this interview with Dr. John Hall. And he's going to explain to us the connection between electronic harassment and what Aaron Alexis wrote on his gun, My ELF Weapon. Subscribers to Prison Planet TV gain access to all this content and more, and they get it right away. Well, that's it for tonight. We'll be back tomorrow night at 7 o'clock Central, 8 p.m. Eastern.
Now you can watch The Alex Jones Show live as it happens at Infowars.com/show.
You'll find links to all of our content there and a free 15-day trial for Prison Planet TV.
More than 60 movies and documentaries all in one place at Infowars.com/show.
Welcome back. We've got the continuance of that interview with Dr. John Hall, and he's going to explain to us what was meant by my ELF weapon. And he's also going to go into a lot more detail about how people all over the country are being harassed electronically.
When I first saw the Navy Yard shooting, putting that in conjunction with the last two mass shootings that we've had as well, the Sandy Hook shooting and the Colorado shooting, most of us that are working in this technology were already a little bit suspicious that maybe there was some control issues going on. We know that our current administration desperately wants gun control.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, if you notice the early stories coming out immediately after the Navy Yard shooting, you know, all of the pundits were saying it was an AR-15. They immediately jumped on the fact that this was an AR-15. Well, it wasn't an AR-15 at all. It was a shotgun and a handgun.
And he even led up to it the day before. Obama went on Stephanopoulos' Sunday talk show and talked about how 80-90% of the people wanted gun control.
Not
true.
Yeah,
80-90% of the people are against him on Syria. Yeah. They're not with him on gun control.
Not at all. So when I saw this, putting it into the rest of the context that they need these mass shootings in order to pass their gun control agenda, I'm already a little bit suspicious. Well, then when I saw that he had complained to the police, and he tried to seek out help, mm-hmm. He went to the police and said that he had had an altercation in the airport, that he felt like he was followed, and that there were people putting voices in his head and vibrations into the room at his hotel meant to sleep deprive him, which incidentally, most of the victims of this technology that I work with all suffer from sleep deprivation by that very same means. Then I knew we were onto something, that this guy probably was being victimized himself before he went and did the shooting. When I saw that he had etched into the side of his shotgun, "This is my elf weapon," that pretty much told me, and this guy worked in the field. You know,
he's not talking about Legolas. What's the connection with ELF?
Extremely low frequency waves.
Mm-hmm.
And extremely low frequency waves are very easily used to manipulate the human brain. The human brain is very responsive to ELF waves. As a matter of fact, HARP generates ELF waves by heating up the ionosphere and bouncing ELF waves back to the planet.
The ELF waves are used to communicate with submarines, so
exactly.
That would be one connection with the Navy Yard.
Out of Michigan and Wisconsin, 56 miles of antennas there to communicate under the sea with submarines with ELF waves. They're unshieldable for the most part. They travel through the Earth. They've also noticed that during seismic events where the Earth releases an abundance of its own ELF waves, that you typically see more UFO sightings around those areas, and they think that it's an effect from the ELF waves on human beings' temporal lobes of the brain. That might be done. Michael Persinger at Laurentian did a lot of research with ELF waves, showed that you could stimulate the temporal lobes of the brain with ELF and microwave and give people a sentinel being effect where you felt like someone was in a room with you. He even was able to simulate alien abduction using that. So we know the brain is very sensitive to them. That in conjunction with putting voices in somebody's head, I don't think he went to that Navy Yard being subliminally controlled by this technology to do this. They may have been attempting to subliminally control him to shoot someplace else. But by etching that in the side of his weapon, I think he went to the area where he thought the source of the voices was coming from, as more as a protective effort or a vengeance effort, not a controlled effort.
Right. So if he did some research, found out that ELF is being used to put voices in your head, and he saw that even if that wasn't what they were doing at the Navy Yard, he saw they had a big elf thing. That's a very interesting connection. Now, talk to us about how you distinguish between something that is artificially being beamed in, voices being beamed into you with this technology, versus somebody who really is schizophrenic.
I'm glad you asked that, because I especially being a medical doctor, I don't want to come across as everybody hearing voices is being victimized by technology. Certainly schizophrenia exists. For one, schizophrenia is not quite as common, I think, as the press has led people to believe. Severe schizophrenia is still a relatively rare disorder. Most of the victims that I've worked with can pinpoint the day that they started hearing voices and the day that they noticed organized stalking, people following them around from their home to work. Most of the victims that we've had questionnaires filled on and talked to are in their late 30s to early 40s. Typically, schizophrenics are identified from 18 years old to 28 years old, maybe a little later in females, but almost always at a young age. Typically, those people are described as never having been quite normal.
Mm-hmm.
you don't see it in high-functioning, educated individuals who all of a sudden turned 40 years old and acutely became schizophrenic overnight. Also, if you talk to schizophrenics about what they're hearing, typically it's God or angels or deities or garbled voices like you hear in a subway.
Mm-hmm.
The people that are being victimized by this technology are hearing the voices of people that are obviously watching them. Oftentimes they'll know the names of these voices because it's a two-way communication system. Mm-hmm. So they're hearing the people doing the surveillance talk to each other as well as talk to them. Typically it's their whereabouts in a room is being described, what they're dressed like is being described.
So it's kind of a form of harassment then.
Well, and that's exactly what the loose term for it is, electronic harassment.
So they're not necessarily trying to pretend that they're God. They're just really trying to harass this person and push them over the edge.
Exactly.
Into doing something. Well, that's interesting. So to sum it up, somebody who has real schizophrenia, it's going to be something that is very early in their life, a consistent pattern behavior from very early in their life, whereas somebody that is that is having this done to them, they're going to have a sudden onset of that.
Exactly.
So they've been perfectly normal, then somehow, and later in life, all of a sudden, like you said, a switch has been flipped.
Exactly. And we've done surveys on thousands of these victims, and most of them are educated. A lot of them are doctors and lawyers. Educated people that were high functioning, that were successful in their careers,
mm-hmm.
and one day started hearing voices, started being stalked, and watched their lives spiral downhill after that. And the other thing with schizophrenia is schizophrenia does respond to treatment. You can put schizophrenics on medication and they'll improve. People that are being victimized by this technology, you can put them on any array of the medications used for schizophrenia or delusional disorder, and they still hear the voices, they still get stalked, and they still get attacked.
Wow, another important difference. Now, have you done any kind of, you looked at them being typically professionals, that sort of thing, have you done any kind of demographic information saying that there was some kind of a political affiliation with these people, or something where they had security clearance, because we've seen how the government is specifically targeting Tea Party groups and groups that they perceive as being hostile to them?
Actually, demographics have been done through an organization called Freedom from Covert Surveillance and Harassment. That's one of many human rights organizations that have actually formed to handle the vast number of exponentially growing complaints of this kind of victimization. This is a growing thing. It's not getting better. It's getting worse.
Mm-hmm.
Freedom from Covert Surveillance and Harassment has done surveys to get the demographics. It doesn't seem to have a gender bias, a racial bias. It seems to be pretty equal between blacks and whites. It does seem to have a predominant female bias. 70% of the victims are female. Most of them are also voicing complaints of sexual assault.
Right, yeah, that would be the connection.
The political bias we haven't seen. Matter of fact, most of the victims I've worked with are apolitical.
Hmm.
Most of them aren't radicals.
Are they people who have worked with the government might know something?
I have had a number of whistleblowers that have come forward. Several former NSA people, several National Reconnaissance Office people that were whistleblowers that have come to me seeking advice on how to escape being targeted.
Hmm. So now you've written a book talking about how this all came. You basically talked about this case that brought you into this,
exactly,
as well as research that you've done. But you're also working on a movie as well.
There was a screenplay written on a movie based on a true story, based on a new breed, satellite terrorism in America.
And that's the name of your book?
Yeah. The
Give us the name of your book again.
New Breed Satellite Terrorism in America.
And where can people find that?
Amazon, Barnes & Nobles, or at newbreedmovie.com.
Okay, good. All right, so you're doing a movie of this, and it's not a documentary. It's actually a dramatization. Is that correct?
No, we decided not to do a documentary, mainly because a documentary only attracts a certain number of people who want to come and watch that.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter how much fact you back up a documentary with, people are still going to walk away wondering whether it's true. Unfortunately, in today's society, people are more likely to believe a drama based on a true story, or plain fiction, than they are a documentary. So we wanted something that was going to be entertaining and educate at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So we've chose to actually do it a drama based on a true story.
Oh, that's really smart. That's important, too. It's one of the things that we were looking at with Operation Paul Revere. You know, we understand that when you do a news broadcast, people need to know what's going on. It's kind of like an intelligence report. When you're going to wake people up, we found that a lot of people will look at all this. We don't have time in a news broadcast to go behind and document everything that leads up to this, like we're, you know, even in an extended interview like this. So a documentary will wake a lot of people up. But we also know that more people, as you mentioned, are going to be affected by something that is a dramatization. They can identify with the people, and it seems more real to them than if you carefully
exactly.
document everything in a news report or an article or a documentary. If they see a fictionalized report, it's a very powerful thing.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why we kind of went for that genre. Everybody wants to go see a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
Only the believers are going to come see a documentary.
That's right. That's true. So as you wake people up, what would you like to see happen to stop this?
What most of the victims want to see is a congressional hearing to get to the legitimate truth from the CIA and the NSA of exactly what the technology is that is they're being experimented.
Something like the Church Committee hearings.
Or the Rockefeller Commission,
right.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that didn't actually stop MKUltra.
That's right.
The Freedom of Information stopped, but obviously the research went on. But most of these victims are just looking for validation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things that my book has done. At least there's one physician that believes them, that they are being victimized by technology and being experimented on. We're also looking for legislation to change in this country that makes it illegal to experiment on you without your consent.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, the common rule, our current legislation, doesn't protect the public from experimentation on them by the government.
Yeah.
John Glenn tried to pass that legislation years ago and was shot down in Congress. I spoke at the Bioethics Commission that Obama appointed when we had to apologize to the Guatemalans for experimenting on them. I was the only person there that pointed out the flaws in the common rule, that the common rule is so poorly written that it allows us to be experimented on.
Oh, absolutely. We've covered cases where the EPA is feeding diesel fumes directly to people and trying to make them sick so they can change the particulate regulations that they've got going.
So that's kind of the two things we're really looking for, and of course looking for it to stop.
Yeah.
And if we can make non-consensual experimentation truly illegal in this country, then at least hopefully that will help.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Hall, for joining us.
Thanks.
You for sharing that with everyone and bringing this out in the open. More people need to understand what this is about, and hopefully we can do something about it. Hopefully we can rein in an out-of-control government that's trying to control everything about us.
Thanks for having me on, and thanks for helping expose it.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, it's not just Voice of God technology or MK Ultra programs where the government controls our mind. We've got a documentary that is exclusive on DVD from InfoWarsStore.com, State of Mind. And there you'll find out all the many different ways that government controls the population. It's not just these high-tech, secretive, covert methods. It's also things like the media. It's things as mundane as schools. It's an entire full spectrum of control. The government's not going to use just one thing. So educate yourself, educate your friends and your family to protect yourself from this type of mind control. You can get State of Mind at InfoWarsStore.com. Well, that's it for tonight. We'll be back tomorrow at 7 Central, 8 p.m. Eastern.